This is RSVNB Update, episode 515, recorded Thursday, April 30th, 2015. It's those damned kids again.
Hello, everybody. RSVNB Update is back once again, coming to your eardrums this week. Earth and I are here to talk about the Evolution of Combat and Legacy matchup, amongst other things.
Hello, friends.
Yes, we're all friends here, aren't we?
Are we?
Yes. We should start calling each other friend.
Why?
It's a nice pronoun, you know? But anyways.
It is a nice pronoun.
Yes.
I.
We're a bunch of nice pronouns here, but anyways, no, that didn't make sense.
Is that really all I am to you, Shane?
Oh, you're much. No. You're much more than that.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yes. So this week's headlining update is the addition of Legacy and the Evolution of Combat mashup, which means, of course, you can use Legacy mode with the EOC interface, or you can use Legacy Combat with the old-fashioned interface, as you could before. So basically, there's four combinations, varying from full EOC to full Legacy, and a little bit in between. I really hope this is the final chapter in Evolution of Combat tweaking and fixing. I really do.
Well, I think this was needed, because let's be real. The new interface system is pretty damn awesome.
It is, and I mean, for somebody coming to the game initially, you get an interface that, you know, you might not like, and then you start moving things around, and it's like, oh boy, how do I get back to where I was? So yeah. if you get in that case, you can just...
I mean, the Legacy thing is really simple, but it's inferior.
Exactly.
The interface.
Yeah. I mean...
The combat, sure, that's personal preference. I'll give people that.
Yes. You know, one thing I think, there's a word or phrase in the industry, you know, giving the user enough rope to hang themselves with. And that is kind of what the Evolution of Combat does if you're not careful with the interface, is that, you know, you can create something that's totally unusable that you won't even know where to begin. Giving the user enough rope to hang themselves with. So they're going back. There does need to be, you know, some middle ground that actually works well, which are the presets, I think. But if you don't know how to set the preset, what's the point?
You just click a couple of buttons. It's not difficult.
No. I mean, I will admit that the old UI of, you know, before Evolution of Combat is a nice looking UI, and it's still usable.
It certainly has its charm.
Yeah, it's still usable for some things. And, I mean, if you wanted to, you could completely use that and not have any downsides. But, I mean, I don't know about you, but my biggest problem with using the Legacy UI, aside from a couple bugs that made it through testing, which, you know, happens, is that the minimap is so small.
Yep.
I mean, we all resized our mini-maps to be huge, and going back to this tiny mini-map, it's like, whoa, how did we ever use such a thing?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just wish they would make it so that players showed up, no matter how big you extended it, players and NPCs.
Oh, you mean, oh, right, because there is, like, a specific maximum distance that you can go to for having something appear, eh?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's understandable. And I mean, to a larger degree, that's a problem with the engine and the way the game works and everything. But use this UI if you, you know, are returning to the game from a number of years ago, and you can slowly progress up to you know, the UI that we use, the Evolution of Combat UI, and maybe even the combat system.
Yeah, I think that's
initially.
The biggest thing that's turned people off from EOC is they come back, and then there's this new interface and they're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it would have been good if some of this stuff was initially around, but the problem with the initial beta test was it was all too knee-jerk reaction with the community, and we never received the appropriate feedback for them to, you know, do something like this.
Nah.
Now, Jagex. What's the number one thing we dread that Jagex says every year? Combat beta, right?
I guess.
When this update first hit the beta servers, I did my testing as I normally do. I like my interfaces to work well. I think I reported somewhere around 7 bugs. One of the most annoying ones that I did indeed report on that first round of testing still persists today in the combat interface update
that I got.
Well, if you go to the legacy UI, you can be using either legacy combat or evolution of combat, but legacy UI is the key part. And if you have keybind set to, say, you know, enable auto retaliate or enable your quick prayers or heal yourself or open up the world map.
Those don't work.
Open up the home or the lodestone network. They do work. But if you're typing in a chat box, you're supposed to be typing in that chat box. And what happens is if you're typing in this chat box and you press that hotkey fires. Even though you're typing in a chat box, which should not be happening.
And doesn't it have the always on chat?
You can turn that off if you want.
Well, that's not, like, that's not minor.
I know, it's a big bug that, it, like, if you're...
That...
If you're typing a message to a friend and you press a letter, it activates your quick prayers. I mean, how did something like this get through? Every time I type the letter C, which is my quick prayer hotkey, when I was filling out the bug report interface disappeared. So by the end of the bug report, I was looking for a way to write my bug report without pressing the letter C. So.
Oh. Hey, at least it wasn't E, right? Or you could have just gone and unbound it.
Yeah, I could have done that. I could have done that. But, I mean, aside from the action bar hotkeys, those are the only ones that work properly. Any other hotkey in-game is not going to work when you're typing in a chat box with the legacy UI. So that's
Wait, so just the quick prayer?
Well, anything that's not on the action bar. Because if you look in the controls...
Oh, I see. Okay, I got you.
If you look in the controls... settings panel. There's one for the action bar hotkeys, and then there's one for all the other hotkeys. It's all the other hotkeys are those are the ones that are screwed up. So it's like, how did something like this make it in? When, I mean, are we not looking at reports from the in-game report system? Which I was told, and Jagex told us, that's a preferred way to get us bug reports. So. I don't know. It just puts a sour taste in my mouth for testing in general and the things that can come in the future regarding this. So, as much as we'd like to see this release work, it doesn't work, and I cannot advocate at this point using the legacy UI if you rely on hotkeys or chatting for that matter. If you don't chat, then go ahead, use it. But.
Anyways. So what if it's not on the always on chat thing?
That doesn't matter. Always on chat, yes or no, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was filed as another bug report. So hopefully that will get fixed sooner rather than later. I will keep count of how many weeks it'll be. Update 515, we noticed this. I don't really think there's anything else to say about this UI update. I mean, if you're going to use it, you'll use it. And going forward, it's just a nice option to have.
Yeah.
Though I will say I'm glad they went with brown rather than silver, because I don't think that silver UI ever fit the game. So, all right, moving on from that then. Some tweaks and fixes this week, mostly minor. A 5-minute warning now appears prior to the 23-hour automatic logout. So, have you been logged in
It's 22? I thought it was 6 hours. What happened to that?
They increased it to 23 a number of weeks ago.
Why?
I don't know. People...
Wait. So people are, like, logged in for 23 straight hours?
I guess.
Does it auto-log you out after 5 minutes still?
Yes, if you're not doing anything, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean... Okay.
I mean, I guess the 23 hours, it used to for the 6 hour thing, if you just had the client open for 6 hours, like you were playing and then you left and then you went away for over 6 hours and the client was still up, then it would make you restart it, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean,
I guess that's why.
They still do that to a degree as well, because it has to do with the way the tokens work for, you know, bot protection and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also this week, Overload Salve and Supreme Overload Salve will now protect players from Elvarg's Dragonfire Breath.
Good.
Wishing Well Fruits have been rebalanced to prevent players from receiving excessive amounts of low-priced seeds. I mean... I planted maybe one of these, and the economics was never there to justify planting more than one of them. I mean, it is clearly a money sink. I mean, maybe if it gave you magic seeds or something like that nowadays, it would be worth doing.
Oh, shit.
But I don't think so. Sorry?
Sorry, I just aggroed a dragon.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a dragon fire shield, eh?
No.
Well... Lucky you're not burnt to a crisp.
Apparently they don't use dragon breath when you're not standing right next to them.
Really? That's new to me.
I go asphyxiated. I'm going to die so bad here in a second.
Where are you?
Ancient cavern.
Oh, okay. That'll mess with you pretty bad. And the Lily of the Valley has returned. Anything?
What is that?
It's a little flower you can pick.
Well, I picked one up, but what's it for?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I think they're just little spring flowers that you can use. They might have a farming use, but...
Well, neat, I guess.
Yeah. You have anything in the patch notes that's jumping out at you?
I read through them, not particularly.
All right. Yeah,
I mean, there was a bunch of stuff about the aquarium.
But we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Lily of the Valley, wieldable flowers that give small bonuses to the player wielding them. So, yeah. They're just basically cosmetic to signify it's springtime. Spring has sprung.
The leaves are out.
Yeah, that's true. That always happens here.
It's a hockey joke.
Yeah, if you guys
I
didn't
know, it's spring in Canada when the Leafs are out, referring to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, such a poor team. Such a poor team.
All right, so anyway.
Let's talk about the aquarium then, if you don't want to mention anything else in the patchy notes.
So I took a look at it this week. And my opinion is not as much hatred. I mean, I'm still sad about what could have been, but eh.
Yeah.
That's what I think of it.
Okay.
Eh.
So you're not, I don't know.
3 out of 5.
All right. And,
eh.
And you built one. Are you going to stock it or?
No, not anytime soon.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, that tends to be the general tone of what these construction updates look like, I think. I mean,
build them and never come back.
Yeah. I mean, once we're done with Prestige, there's really not going to be anything to do at the aquarium.
It's another thing. Wait, oh god, they added that, right?
Yep.
So it's just another way to grind. It's just another grinding thing, right?
Correct. And that's what I want to talk about. I mean, I touched on last week how, you know, this is all bad for construction and whatnot, and we should have had an actual construction update. What did you think of the way of, you know, laying out the aquarium from the top-down view?
It's cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that with other rooms, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think that would be as much... I don't really think that would be of as much use.
No, because there's not as much stuff in the other rooms as there is in the aquarium. And the aquarium is a big update when you think about it. I stocked mine with some salmon and rainbow trout. Probably not going to do much stocking on them until if I ever or whenever I decide to get 99 fishing. It's just not something I need. Might go in there from time to time for a elite clue scroll or, you know, planks weekly. But aside from that, I won't be using it. But I would like to re-rank the update. I believe last week I gave it, it was either a 2 or a 3 out of 5. I would like to take that ranking down to a 1, actually, this week.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's not anything to do with the aquarium itself, per se, anything wrong with it. It's a matter of the kind of update that this is catering to and what it's creating. As you guys might recall, last week I mentioned this update is definitely catering, you know, to the people who like to complete everything, and we're just completing it for the sake of completing it. And it's not really about the journey, so to speak. It's just about getting there as fast as we can. The analogy I gave was that you and me enjoy quests for the lore, and there are some people who just do the quest for the after reward, right?
Correct.
And I think the aquarium really caters to, you know, just the end game reward, completing as fast as you can. And this week, you know, I was shocked when I was told by a member in chat, in the friends chat, Bits Bytes, if anyone wants to join it.
Nice plug.
That there are people buying golden cracker poles for upwards of 20 million GP a pole in an attempt to complete this aquarium. Now,
so what do those things do?
Well, the golden cracker is supposed to be a 2.5% chance to get from a prawn ball when you're fishing. So this 2.5% chance that you have of getting it, which, you know, 2.5% is very small of potential things you can get. When you use it on someone, it gives you and the other person a random golden fish egg that you both don't have. So in essence, what people are doing is they're using these golden crackers to complete this update without doing the fishing. So they're just paying, you know, 5, 10, upwards of 20 mil a pop to get these fish eggs.
Oh, so people who have a ton of money
are
done, like, within a minute.
Exactly. And, I mean, this is what I warned
of. How much would it cost to do the whole thing?
Well, there's about 20 fish, so you can do the math.
So that's what, 400 mil per... Yep.
Per prestige, yeah.
And there are how many prestiges?
7.
So 2.8 billion?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And, I mean, I honestly commend the people for finding the business opportunity to do this. Anytime you can find a business opportunity to make money is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with making money, but... You know, just the fact that people are doing this, you know, in an effort to complete it rather than, you know, doing the content itself, that just rubs me the wrong way. And I think if it's going to live up to what the true nature of fishing should be, a resource gathering skill, people should actually have to spend time rather than, you know, just, oh, let's just throw in, you know, some huge sum of money at it, whatever it might be, 2.8 billion for the entire thing. So... Yeah, I honestly don't like that.
Yeah.
So 1 out of 5 for me.
Man.
And correction, there's only 14 fish, not 20. It's a little bit less than that, but still substantial. Very substantial.
Indeed.
Yep, but I did get my rainbow fish, so I'm happy about that.
Of course you are. You love rainbows.
Yeah, and I mean, the rainbow fish is unique, so you might as well put it in. It took me 3158 rainbow fish at Shiloh Village to get the egg.
I didn't even know rainbow fish were a thing.
Yeah, they were from Recipe for Disaster, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. You use any trout or salmon fishing spot, except you use the stripy feathers from the tropical wagtails that you catch
in the southern
hunting area. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yes. So there we go. All right. Okay. So some fixes to the aquarium this week. A list of eggs and prawn balls that you've received has been added to the bathysphere, so you know how well you're doing along the process. Players who reset their aquarium with a plug, you pull the plug on it, you can now unlock cosmetic overrides for barehanded fishing. So resetting once will unlock silver-colored fish, and resetting twice will unlock gold-colored fish when catching them barehanded. This affects tuna, swordfish, shark, and great white shark.
Good.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's another thing right there that, you know, you could do. You don't necessarily need to, you know, rush through the whole thing and, you know, prestige and spending and all the money on it and getting done as quick as you can. You can certainly show off with the cosmetic overrides. Certain prawn ball items have been made tradable on the GE, so I'm not sure if this was an oversight or something they decided to do, because we could definitely trade them in the previous weeks. That's how I got those to you.
Yeah. So they changed it so that something wasn't tradable?
No, they made it tradable on the GE, but they were tradable person to person from the
beginning. Oh, okay, I got it. I got you.
Yes. And these same items, the telescope lenses, portholes, message in a bottle, shark jawbone, and the ship figurehead are now all stackable in your interface when you're fishing, so you don't need to worry about
that's good.
Collecting them or dropping them. Let's see, last one I want to mention is that Iron Man players can now use regular and golden prawn crackers on the prawn broker in their POH to open the crackers and receive the reward rather than using them on other people. Yes.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's supposed to be a self-sufficient way of training and not needing help from anyone else, so it makes sense the prawn broker can do that. And finally, butlers can no longer get stuck in the aquarium, but what did we witness yesterday?
My butler drowns. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty weird, wasn't it? But he followed you back up out afterwards, so that part was fixed. I don't know why
I just went down there, and suddenly my butler was right there, and was like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily have anything down there to build, so it's not like he needs to come down there. I mean, unless you're serving tea to your people down there.
I mean, I guess, but who's going to drink tea underwater, right?
Yeah, that's right. It would lose its point. Anyways.
Become quite dilute.
Yes, yes. And maybe some fish excrement thrown in there as well.
Flavoring.
Ew. Anyways, contrary to what we believe here, one of our fine writers at Informer, Tanis, does actually believe the aquarium is a good update. So he talked about that this week in his article entitled Age of Aquariums, which you can find at informer.rsbnb.com. He basically takes the counterpoint to both of us here, and he feels it's the best we can have for construction in quite some time. So we should be very happy with what we have, just because it's a unique update and there's so much content around it. and he's entirely allowed to have that opinion. So, informer.rsbnb.com for that.
They're really good at plugging things.
Yeah, they used to count the amount of time until I would slip one in, so I haven't lost that touch after all these years. What's next?
Let's see. Legendary pets?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I have no idea about any of that.
These are pets you buy with rune coins.
Oh.
And,
okay. Is that the thing I saw the other day? There's like a dragon thing flying behind another...
Yes.
That's what that was? Okay.
Yes.
I was like, what is this?
That was the Shadow Drake, I believe, which was part of the pet contest this week. And one of the things they did was say, name this, and you'll receive a free one. And the winning name was Fury. So there's those two new pets that were added into the game this week. Fury, and I don't think the second one has a name, but Fury is a limited time release, so you can pick that up on the SGS if you so choose to. But in other changes with this, there's 6 abilities you can choose from for these pets, and you can have 3 of them active at any given time. Now, you tell me if you think these are a little bit OP, okay?
All right.
Slayer Finisher. Your pet will automatically finish off Slayer monsters that usually require an item.
That was the whole point of doing, not love kills, what is it called? Smoking kills. Love kills is a play.
Item repair, once an hour you can use a repairable degrading item on your pet to repair it immediately. Works the same way as
For
the...
E?
No. It costs the same as the POH armor stand.
Oh, I guess that's more of a convenience thing?
Yeah, I guess. You can turn them into beasts of burden. So, for example, if you, based on your level, so as you level up, you'll be able to hold more.
Level up
summoning.
Your summoning.
Yes.
Okay, what's the max?
I would assume 96, same as Pakyak.
So if it scales with that, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
High alchemy.
It's kind of annoying going from, what is Pakyak, 30?
Yes, 30.
Yeah, I mean, the most I can have right now is 18, although it doesn't have that transport to bank thing, right?
Yeah, winter storage. I've never really... bought one of these legendary pets, so I can't commentate on how these work. But anyways, high alchemy, once per 10 minutes, use an item on your pet to convert it to GP. Same as high alchemy. Once every 10 minutes. I don't know, that seems kind of useless when you have the explorer's ring, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's once every... You can do that once every 10 minutes?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Fertilizer, once an hour, your pet will answer the call of nature. The results only viewable to you. Can be picked up for 6 buckets of super compost.
Wait, and what does it do?
Super compost.
I see.
Yes. And lifesaver, your pet will save you from death as a ring of life. Note, this does not work in PvP areas and has a 2-hour cooldown.
I see.
I mean, these don't seem that overpowered, and they're just ways of accessing things you can already do in-game, so I don't see an issue with it.
The only one I don't like is the Slayer one, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Nah.
That's true. Very true.
Aren't they going to add in a Slayer tool belt anyway? Although it still wouldn't automatically activate.
I honestly don't know what's happening with the Slayer belt. That's Rune Labs. Anyways, moving on from that, the Spring Cleaner has been updated, made more effective, increases the XP you receive and the efficiency when dismantling things, and it can now break down noted and stackable items if you so choose.
Oh, good.
Yeah, did you get one of these?
I think I have one in my bank. I haven't used it, though. Should I be using it?
Yeah, it definitely cleans up the amount of junk that you get. The problem is that, I never, received the springs to use the spring cleaner, because you do need springs to use the spring cleaner. So, yeah.
Oh, so it doesn't matter if you have one, you still need springs to charge it initially?
Exactly.
Oh, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Silverhawk booties, you know?
Those had initial charges.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe the spring cleaner does as well. I don't know. I never found too much interest in it. I mean, it was producing junk. Junk. You can fully upgrade it right off the bat for the price of 10,000 springs, which are tradable on the GE, much like the Silverhawk feathers.
How much do they go for?
I don't know. Let me have a look and see, because that would definitely... have some bearing as to whether or not this is a good thing to use. Springs are currently going for 1,500 GP each, whereas a Silverhawk feather is...
like 6K?
19K.
Jesus.
Yes.
How much... what's the thing with the Silverhawk boots? I know they give you agility XP. Do they do anything else?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
How much agility XP do they give you?
It's not substantial. You're not gonna, gain more than doing agility at an agility place, but still. I don't know. I never tested them. I never had boots. I just sold them because that was an update that I didn't really partake in because I had 99 agility at the time.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Items that the spring cleaner fails to break down are dropped to the floor. So if they can't break them down, well, just put them on the floor. Makes sense. And finally, Treasure Hunter. You can now get a list of all the Treasure Hunter items that you own. They added a search feature, and you can destroy unwanted items and get GP if you're able to get GP from them. I think that's nice. Good way of, cleaning up what we have in Treasure Hunter and doing that, which can be accessed from the Treasure Hunter interface.
Good.
All right. Shall we move on to the poll?
Sure.
All righty. So April's ideas are here from Rune Labs, and we can vote on them. Elf City Waterfall Fishing, Constructible Museum Room for the POH, and a Roaming Slayer Master D&D.
So what are the pros and cons of each of these, Shane?
I honestly don't know. I mean...
well, then.
Why do we need fishing in Thriftiness?
What are the listed features of each?
Well, basically, the Elf City Waterfall Fishing would be a high-level fishing spot in the Elf City. The Constructible Museum Room would be a place where you can store quest items, review lore, and replay quest cutscenes.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, me too.
That one's in last place, isn't it?
Of course.
God damn it.
And the Roaming Slayer Master D&D would basically, I guess, be like a special kind of Slayer Master that you need to be high level to use. So. And we got the Waterfall Fishing winning at 39%, the Slayer Master at 32%, and the Constructible Museum Room at 23%. I know. I mean, like, this is already making Thriftiness unpeer when you think about it. The skills were supposed to be...
I don't like it.
The skills were supposed to be added in batches of two. And, I mean, cooking's not in the Elf City.
But no, this has to be the final update that RS is ever going to get. This city. Right?
I guess. If that's what they're going at and they're wanting to keep adding on to it. But, I mean, look at what the Elf City did to thieving. That's the best thieving XP in the game now right there. The Saren Stones, that's the best mining XP, AFKable. And is this going to be fishing without, fish or what? I don't know. I mean, we already
crystals or something.
Like, we already have a decent fishing place. And if we were going to be talking about adding fishing to this, what clan is that going to fall under?
Caverns?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, what clan is this going to fall under? And how is that going to be rectified with the elves? Oh, we're just going to start fishing now, right? I don't know. It seems like a stupid idea. I mean, of course, people are going to vote for whatever's going to get them the most XP.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know. It's just sickening, really. I encourage everybody out there to vote for the museum room. I think that would be good. Nice general room that, you know, doesn't necessarily need to be completed and goes to showcase the broader depth of what's available in-game. Compared to, well, fishing. Much
it's
more OP.
That's in last place.
Than the Living Rock Caverns and all more combat with Slayer. Yeah. And see, this is what I was touching on earlier. So many people are just so concerned about the end goal. It's not
it's
anything
all these
about...
damn kids, isn't it, Shane?
I wouldn't say that, but it's about the end goal rather than the journey. And
it's all these damn kids.
Okay, you can say that, but...
Damn right I can.
There needs to be more of an appreciation out there for the finer aspects of the game that don't necessarily involve getting where you're going as fast as you can. Like...
It's all
I
these
bet,
damn kids, Shane.
I bet half the people who are voting for this have never even done the quest, or have done the quest, but couldn't tell you anything about them just because they're so worried about getting the quest cape for their completion escape.
Like I said, it's those damn kids.
Alright, it's those damn kids then. Alright. Vote for the constructible museum room. That's downer. Maybe we need to make a video convincing people to vote for the museum room. We have 6 days left. I think we can make that happen.
Mm.
But 23 to 39, that's a 16% difference. I don't think we're going to turn that many votes. But we'll see what we can do. Alrighty. Well, May starts tomorrow, and I guess that means it's time for another RuneScape road trip. And look who's
and
back.
Dave.
Yes! He's
but
got a
the
rabbit
monkey.
This time. The monkey is gone. Anyways, just a bit of a backgrounder here. On the RuneScape road trip news posting, there's a in-game drawing of a fellow, and this guy actually looks a lot like Dave, one of our staff members. And
I'm
and
so convinced you're talking about the monkey, Shane.
No! He admitted it was. It looks like him as well. But anyways,
I'm still convinced that you were calling Dave a monkey.
No, I would never call that.
Did not appreciate that.
Call him that. He's a very nice person.
So you would call a mean person a monkey, Shane?
Well, maybe if they looked like one.
Damn.
Anyways. Tasks are split into four categories once again: skilling, combat, social, and miscellaneous. Interesting to note, the cabbage clearing task is gone this year.
Oh, that one was fun. One that I had to do again. Or you had to do again because you couldn't find the damn emote.
Well, you got your clan to redo it for me.
It's true.
Such great people in Clan Quest, eh?
Yeah, when are you joining?
I don't know. We need to have a chat about that at some point in the future.
Really?
Yeah. But anyways, you can find more in the notes. Link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com to all these. But they start May 1st. Rather than, you know, going to Lumbridge Crater and getting stamps from Hectic J-Mods, you can do that if you so choose, but there will also be the option of receiving chits from JMod NPC clones that do it automatically.
Receiving what?
Yeah, they call them chits.
Chits?
Yep.
Not chip. Chit.
No. Chit. C-H-I-T.
What?
Yep.
Is that a real word?
I don't know. A chit is a...
mean?
A chit cause a potato to sprout by placing it in a cool, light space. Okay, apparently it's some kind of sprout. And there's a movie called Chitty Bang Bang on...
Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, on iTunes.
Yes, apparently a classic. I've never seen that.
Yeah, four and a half stars and 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, according
65% to... 65% is not good.
No, but iTunes users gave it 4.5 stars.
No.
See, this is what you can do with...
Know?
This is what you can do with OS X. You just search for something, and it brings up, you know, the Wikipedia.
Shane, you went to Google.
iTunes. No!
You literally went to Google,
no!
Shane.
No.
It uses Google.
It uses
There's no
Bing.
Way Apple did that themselves.
It uses Bing.
What?
Yeah.
Is that your joke of the day?
No, let me send you a screenshot of that.
OS X uses
Bing.
Yes. Bing.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
you're shitting
it does.
Me.
No,
you're shitting
here.
Me.
Have a look at the screenshot.
You are shitting me.
See?
No.
Yeah, it says Bing search.
Where?
Underneath the definition.
What the Shane?
See, I told you. I told you. See?
What? Okay. Well then.
That was a little bit of a side experiment there, but if you use OS X, definitely use Spotlight for everything. It works quite well. Alrighty, so I'm sorry we got a little bit sidetracked there. But anyways, once you complete these tasks, you'll be given an aura that you can use daily. And this aura has 4 tiers, lasting from 5, 10 to 30 minutes, depending on its tier. And once per day, for all 30 days, it'll grant you access to an instanced area where you can skill or kill, and increased XP and gathering wraith.
Oh,
so this
good.
Just sounds like an area where you'll be able to, you know, stock up on resources for half an hour a day. Be interesting to see what happens to commodity prices during this.
I'm gonna go down!
Yep. Alright. And also... I know this month there will be some
economics, right, Shane?
Yep, you got to think of that when you do everything. It's the economy, stupid.
There you go.
Yes, George Bush Senior, by the way, or no, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton.
All right.
Yes.
Did you say Bill Clitty?
No, I said Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Okay.
Yes. There's going to be some bonus weekends this month. Skiller weekend from the 1st to the 4th. Double XP in the Artisan Workshop. Increased Runespan nodes. Fishing spots stay twice as long. Divination Wisp twice as long. 50% base Chachampa XP. Big Chachampa XP, sorry.
Based Chachampa?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, based God. Right, Shane?
I guess. I don't know what that expression means, but okay. And then we'll have the minigame weekend from the 8th to the 11th. Dungeoneering weekend, 15th to 18th. Ports bonus from the 15th to June 1st. And Slayer and Boss weekend to wrap it up on May 22nd with plus 50% base Slayer XP and double Slayer points. So it's going to be a very, very interesting month, you know, to just reap some benefits of what Jagex is offering us. All right. I believe that's it for RS this week. And you know what that means? It's time for questions.
Oh, boy.
First one is an audio question from someone that you know. Your roommate.
Oh, good. Someone that I know. Oh, my roommate? What a surprise. It's like I bothered him and made him do that.
From Art of Divorce.
Hello, Shane. This is a question for you.
Uh-oh.
From Ott the Vorok. If you could make Reed sing one song, any song in the world, what would it be? And he couldn't say no.
Huh. Well, I mean, I guess we could ask for a redo of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
That'll definitely
not
go on your...
anyway.
That'll definitely go on your clip show whenever you expire, or we expire. But,
We're gonna die? What?
Yeah, one day. We're gonna stop doing
when
this.
When we expire?
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? Wait, say all of that again. I accidentally turned my volume down.
Oh, I just basically said we're gonna have a big clip show before we expire one day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
If I can make you sing any song.
Not today, though, because I'm kind of sickly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Singing
yeah.
will be done today.
Not done today. We could go for... You know, I think after seeing the video of Vladimir Putin's troops singing Barbie Girl, I think we have to ask Reed to sing Barbie Girl.
What?
Yeah, there was a video of Vladimir Putin's, one of his infantry divisions, marching to Barbie Girl.
What?
Yeah, seriously, there was.
That's some weird shit right there.
Yeah. It was on, I found the video on Dig, of all places. See, Dig is good for finding videos
shitty
like
videos.
That. No, 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 no. No,
no.
Let's see. Whoops, can't find it.
Hey, what a shitty website.
No, I was just searching. Oh, whoops, I'm in the wrong section. I meant to be in my digs, not dig deeper. All right, here we go. Got it. I'll play a little bit of this. Hopefully it won't break anyone's ears.
What the f***? Alright, that's enough of that.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Ha, 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 yeah. Come on, Barbie, let's go party. Whoa, whoa. Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Alright, that's enough.
Yep.
Jesus, if they started doing that, I'd just give them East Ukraine. Goddamn.
Maybe that's the plan. Maybe that's the plan. Anyways, I hope
they don't give us what we want. We'll sing at them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the plot of every musical. You didn't give us what we want, so we're gonna sing you to death.
Yeah, or just sing in general to get it. You know, that's why I don't like musicals.
Yeah.
Anyways. So there's the answer to that question. I'm sure we'll be getting a version of this at some point in the future, if not spontaneously. Because that is what you're known for, right?
Is it?
Yeah, remember way back when, the Mumble server, you and Thomas?
No.
Oh, you started some lion thing, something song about
some
a lion?
Some lion thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a recording somewhere. All right, shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, sure.
All right, it's from Thieves. You want to read it, or should I?
I feel obligated to read Colton's.
All righty, I'll read this one then. Hey, so we've had three piece skilling outfits now. The Magic Golem for mining, the Infinity Ethereal for runecrafting, and the Fury Shark for fishing. Which outfit would you like to see next, Koth? Farming for Shane, ? And what benefits would you like it to have? Keep up the good work from Thieves. I feel like I already got a farming outfit that is good enough with the...
Yes, it's Lederhosen.
No, actually, I'm using the Treasure Hunter-based farming one that gives you 6% bonus XP with the entire set.
Nah.
So, I mean, I think that's good for farming. I mean, aside from this, we have outfits that already boost certain skills. I mean, if I was going to do one thing with these kind of updates, I would make it so the primary resource gathering skills, divination, mining, fishing, and woodcutting, all their outfits function the same, rather than, you know, some giving bonus XP and some giving additional perks like the fishing one does. So that's one thing I think would be nice to see, would be something similar to the shark for woodcutting and divination. But I don't know. Maybe some kind of agility outfit that makes you more light-footed and has the same bonuses as the agile.
How about we call them the boots of lightness? I like that idea.
Those already exist.
That's the joke.
And does the agile top as and bottom as well. So I guess maybe not in that regard. I don't know.
I mean, boots of lightness are part of my main outfit that I wear.
They used to be for me as well until I got the full farming set. So. I don't know. It's hard to think. What would you introduce if you could introduce a new set?
I don't know. Maybe one for, oh, what the hell. One that gives more farming, better crop yield.
Okay, yeah, I can get behind that. Sure, that would be good. In addition to the aura, juju farming potion, and magic secateurs. Yeah, let's have some more, shall we?
Yeah.
That would be nice. Then maybe I could break my 88 herb record.
It's the theoretical maximum.
I don't know exactly. I mean, that'd definitely be nice to know, but I've got 88. What's your record?
I don't keep track. Probably like 78, 79.
Okay. Yeah, let us know what your records are. I mean, that'd be an interesting piece of information to have out there. I mean, I guess if I was going to say another skill, maybe one for crafting. I don't know, but
sure.
Yeah, because crafting is kind of an under thought about skill when you think about it. Because I mean, really, who trains crafting these days, right?
I do.
Yeah, but
my third 99.
Oh, good. What's going to be number two?
Magic.
Oh, good. Sounds nice.
What's number one for you?
Farming.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Number two was herb lore, right?
Correct. Then wood cutting. Then fire making.
And fletching.
No, fire making came first.
Did you ever get fletching, Shane?
I did. In the corner of the bank where no one
saw. You had a party for it.
No. I didn't, actually. But anyways, thank you for the question, Thieves. So hopefully there's enough of an answer for you. And I'd be interested to know what kind of outfit would you like to have? Would it be for your favorite skill? Or maybe it'd be for something else you think that needs to be added to the game. Feel free to send us a follow-up or, you know, chat with us in-game, since I have seen you in the friends chat recently. All right.
All right, so this next question is from Colton.
Such a good guy.
Who did not send a question to us last week and should definitely be ashamed of himself. Shane and Reed, forgive my lack of questions last week. I must have forgotten myself. No! Regardless, Here's some questions for this week. 1. Which do you prefer, Tootsie Pop or Blow Pop? This is important. At night, how many blankets do you like to sleep with and of what thickness? What is your very favorite candle or air freshener scent? Lastly, if given a choice, which would you be? A unicorn, a dragon, or a griffin? Keep in mind, there is a correct answer. Love, Colton. All right.
All right. I was going to say that, but anyways.
So, for me, Tootsie Pop. What about you, Shane?
We don't have either of those here.
Damn commies. All right.
We have Tootsie like Rolls.
Oh, those aren't the same thing. That's what I was thinking, actually.
I've never heard of a
Blow I'm indifferent,
Pop
then.
Blow Pops are lollipops with bubblegum centers. Okay, I have had one of those before, but I never had it called a Blow Pop. So I'd have to go with the Blow Pop over the Tootsie Pop, even though it seems like... the Tootsie Pop is a derivative of the Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Pops are hard candy lollipops filled with chocolate-flavored, chewy Tootsie Roll.
Yep.
Okay. So, let's go with the Blow Pop.
All right. And now, how many blankets do you sleep with at night, and of what thickness?
2. One is like a thin sheet thing, and then the other is just a fleece warming thing.
I sleep with one that's, moderate thickness, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so. It's the same all year round because we have decent heat in the winter and we have decent cooling in the summer. So
I usually add another one when it's winter, but
oh, okay. All right. And I would say my top one is pretty thick. Number 3.
Number 3. What is your very favorite candle or air freshener scent, Shane?
I have an aversion to scents of any kind that are not natural. So I really do not like anything scented floating around that is overbearing. If I can smell it, it has no reason to be there. Though if I had to choose, I'd have to say something vanilla-like, I guess.
I would agree with that, actually. Vanilla or something sugary.
Yeah. I mean... There's candle and soap stores at the shopping mall and whatnot, and walking.
You guys
by
have
those
Yankee is... Candle?
No, we do not.
Well, you know why?
Yeah,
you're a bunch of damn commies. That's why. We're Yankees.
Not
really.
I know what that store is, though. We've been there in the U.S. a number of times. They do have nice candles, though.
Yeah, they really do make great gifts.
Yeah. And, there are things you can take across the border without too much trouble, you know?
Oh, good.
Yes, because, you really can't take anything food-related if it's, meat-based or whatever. So you mainly got to bring inanimate objects across. So... But anything that's too bad or too smelly, no, that's not good.
I don't like overwhelming smells either.
Yeah, last month was out at the grocery store and there was a bit of an incident in one of the aisles. I was reaching for a jug of laundry soap, and the laundry soap half a meter away just fell onto the floor, and it kind of. Splattered open and soap went everywhere, right?
And why'd you do that?
It wasn't me. It just happened.
It's
when
not
I grabbed,
me.
Grabbed the other one. And my jacket had to be washed 3 times to get the smell of that soap out. Or twice, maybe.
Damn good soap.
Yeah, and it was bad. It was bad. And that goes to the question from a few weeks back, prefer unscented things. Number four?
I would be a griffin.
Okay. Why is that? Why a griffin?
Because why not?
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Just had to have a drink there. I would have to say the dragon. I would not go, you know, for a unicorn because that's not my kind of thing, I feel. So, and I mean, dragons can fly, right? So that's good. That's why I go with the dragon. Thank you, Colton. Excellent questions this week.
Woo!
And
hey guys, for next week, you guys should all go to update.rsbnb.com/ask and send us a question.
Yes, and it's also worth noting that link will redirect to the old questions topic until the new one is posted on Monday, so do it after Monday.
All right.
Yes.
Maybe you should just put the questions topic up as soon as the old one's locked.
Yeah, I could do that and then just global it up on Monday to, you know, reduce some stuff. That's a good idea. We'll definitely do that. Just go to update.rsmb.com/ask and it'll work. Magic will happen.
Yeah, and there will be a questions topic there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we get 5 audio questions, live show, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, so you guys should send in audio questions I don't remember the phone number.
571-572-2632.
There you go, everyone.
Or email them to questions@rsbnb.com.
There you go.
Indeed.
All right. So
on to tech news we go, then. So, Microsoft is making waves this week.
I've actually not been watching any of that, surprisingly, because I just haven't really had time.
Yeah, so, and I mean,
pray tell, explain it all to me.
There's not too much coming out this week. I mean, we saw another demo of the Holo technology, this time showing it more from a medical professional standpoint, which is always nice to see.
Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can we go off on a tangent on that?
Sure.
So that's gonna be used for like remote surgeries?
Well, not remote surgeries. If anything, it would just be training.
Okay. Because we're talking in my networks class this week about doing remote surgeries and stuff like with robots, right?
Right, yeah.
So you have doctors somewhere, and then out in the field, there's
an operator.
A surgeon robot. And the issue is, so the way the internet is right now, there are two protocols, TCP and UDP, and TCP places a high emphasis on the packets, the information getting there.
Data integrity.
Doesn't really care how long it takes, but it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then UDP, it doesn't have like any checking to verify that the packet gets there intact.
That's what Skype uses.
But it's a hell of a lot faster.
Yes.
And so, which are you going to use for a robot surgeon? Because, so they took all of the stuff for robot surgeons from like machines and like car and industrial stuff, right?
Right.
But those have e-stops, emergency stops built into them everywhere.
Ooh.
So you lose connection. It's going to do an e-stop. You lose connection in the middle of someone's heart. And, yeah. And if you're in a location where you're going to need a robot surgeon, you're not going to have the best internet.
Yeah, that's very worrying. So is the solution like some hybrid of TCP and UDP
protocol?
Then? Okay, good.
Let me find my backpack. You actually printed out an article for it. We can add this as a tech news. To make a robot.
See, this is great, isn't it?
This is also about security too, because if it's got all these e-stops built in, then, like, say for some reason the president is having to have surgery by a robot surgeon, which I doubt would ever happen, but you know, someone very important, you are an opposing faction and you want to get rid of them, you just flood whatever it is with, if you can, because it's got to be connected to the internet, right?
Yep. Yep.
You just figure out the a way that you can connect to it and then just flood it with packets. And then
it dies.
And then it dies, yeah.
Well, the connection dies, but hopefully not the patient, right?
Well, I mean, it's got that e-stop built in if it loses connection. So there, it's Interoperable Telesurgery Protocol, ITP. Because you've got you have to have the combination of UDP and TCP, because you could use UDP, but then the packets might not get there intact.
Yep.
And also, packet order is not really emphasized in UDP. So when information is sent over the internet, it's broken up into a bunch of little packets. And TCP is really good at, it can receive it in any order because each little thing is tagged with a number. So it can easily put the file in order, but you don't want you can see where that goes wrong if an order gets corrupted.
Yeah, and I mean, so I was initially thinking you could have some kind of hybrid, but definitely from this, it sounds like you want a whole new protocol designed for this.
Yep.
But the question I have from this is, why would this need to use the internet? Why not just have, like a local network between the two points? You know, like
you
a point
are in the middle of Antarctica.
Oh, okay, right.
Where's the Ethernet port there?
Okay, so we're not talking continental U.S. then.
Well, I mean, we could be. You could be out in, like, Montana or some shit. But no, probably not. Somewhere like Iraq or Antarctica. Basically, you're in the ass end of nowhere.
Sure. Makes sense. That's good. I should have asked you if you had tech news to begin with, but I guess the prompt didn't come until I started talking about Microsoft HoloLens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good.
The article is called "To Make a Robot Secure, an Experimental Analysis of Cybersecurity Threats Against Teleoperated Surgical Robotics." I will try to find a link for that because that is absurd. All right. Anyway, back to HoloLens.
Yeah, I found it. I found it. It's a paper. I'll see if I can get a full copy of it.
Oh, can you guys?
Yeah, I think so. But we'll see. Anyways, yeah. So HoloLens.
I mean, this is very recent, like April 16th. So.
Yep. So HoloLens. We saw demonstrations, medical front, NASA, CAD, which I mean, it's not what end users are going to be doing, but I think the biggest thing that came this week is that we now know that the browser that's no longer going to be called Internet Explorer and has been going by the name of Project Spartan is actually going to be called Microsoft Edge. And the logo kind of looks like the Internet Explorer logo. Tell me what you think. Google Microsoft Edge and search for images.
Give me one sec. I'm putting that link in the notes.
All right. And let's be clear here that when we're talking about Microsoft Edge, we do want this to ultimately succeed, because I am of the opinion that an operating system should ship with a browser that is usable and is not a security risk and renders the modern web to an acceptable level of usability. So if Microsoft can accomplish that and allow people to use Edge and, you know, not have to install Firefox or Chrome, I think we're in a good spot with Windows 10.
I mean, it looks, it's an E, so.
Yeah.
It's an E.
Yep.
I mean, there's not much. I personally liked Spartan as the name, but.
Well, you're a Halo fan.
It's so good, though.
I know.
It's such a great name, and they've got Cortana, and it has Cortana integrated. Why did they need to change the name? I don't like it. Wah.
Yeah, they could have just called it Spartan, you know? I mean, it's...
That would have been fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's short enough that you could just say Spartan. But
it has to be edgy, though. Yeah, I use this web browser. You've probably never heard of it.
That's why it's Microsoft Edge. You know, I remember saying that to people with Firefox, because way back in the day when we started RSBNB, Google had a promotion trying to get people to switch to Firefox, believe it or not. This was before Chrome even existed, and they had a partnership program where you could actually earn money for directing people to Firefox.
Damn.
And we had links on the website and whatnot, so, yeah.
You could do advertisements.
Yeah, yeah. Through Google for Firefox.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think one of the biggest things this week, aside from, you know, the UI changes in the latest Windows 10 build and whatnot, is that Microsoft is building a technology to allow... Are you seated?
Yes.
To allow Android and iOS applications to be compiled for Windows 10.
Yeah, I saw that. Explain.
So basically what they're doing is they're creating a toolkit that takes the existing code, you know, the calls for all the Cocoa APIs on...
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop you for a second. Explain like I'm 10.
Okay. So they're creating a toolkit.
You can give me a technical explanation later, but...
Just wait. I was going to say, all I needed to say that was technical was Cocoa APIs, which are function calls to libraries that do various things on the iOS operating system. Android has these kind of calls.
So why do we need those libraries?
Well, basically what Microsoft does is they're creating the hooks so that when these get called... The Microsoft libraries get invoked instead of the
So it's just replacing shit that's on iOS and Android that's needed.
Yes, with Microsoft versions of it.
Okay.
So they're basically, to put it in, you know, a very simple term, is that if, for example, you have a machine that does something on the front, the machine is still going to do the same thing. What they're essentially doing is they're changing the innards of the machine so that it will work with their connections on the back end.
All right. So how does this make it able to run iOS and Android apps?
Well, the issue with iOS and Android applications is that they call lots of custom libraries to do various things, you know, from scrolling your tables to clicking links or, you know, I don't know, maybe making a square appear on your screen. Literally everything an application does, it's calling code that is in turn calling code that is native to your operating system, whether it be iOS or Android. So what Microsoft is doing is building the interpreter so that that same code that the developers write is now going to be able to call Microsoft features without much fuss.
All right. So how difficult is it to port an app?
Well, if this is successful, all people really should need to do to port their applications is open their code that is for either iOS or Android in the various Microsoft programming developer
It's so like virtual, what is that, Visual Studio? Visual Studio,
yeah.
And there's just a button you click.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might have to do some debugging, but it's going to do a lot of the work for you.
All right.
And, I mean, if this can work to a reasonable level and it's not introducing too many bugs into people's code, Microsoft might have just found a way to catapult their Windows store into having some kind of a, you know, a reason to exist. Because I'm sure you know that the amount of applications on the Windows Store is very small compared to that available on iOS and Android.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I haven't found anything I'm lacking, but choice, right? And I also, yeah, and I guess a lot of people are big on games, and I don't use my phone for games.
Yeah, so that's one. And plus, most of what you use is probably essential, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's going to be interesting to see how this works and how successful it is, because remember, the idea of Windows 10 is that it runs on your PC, phone, and Xbox. So this potentially means you can have applications that are hits on iOS, like the Clear To-Do List, if those developers choose to do that, working on your Windows phone and Windows desktop relatively easily. But
so what about apps that like need iCloud integration or something?
You know, that's going to be the sticky point.
Okay.
Because Microsoft doesn't have anything that is remotely familiar to that or similar to that on mobile. I mean, Microsoft has OneDrive.
I mean, OneDrive is very heavily integrated into Windows
Phone. But it's a file system.
Yes.
Whereas iCloud is not a file system.
But it can be used as such.
It can be if you want to, yes. But developers don't do that. That's not the Apple way. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I mean, if you have applications you'd like to see on Windows 10 or Windows Phone, it's definitely a day to be happy, I think. So I thought you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
Though I don't know. You're the only one I know who uses a Windows phone, so.
It's nice. I like it.
Yep. It'll be even nicer with Windows 10.
Yep. Although I know when I got it, I said that I was going to be able to deliver stuff from the cutting edge, and I will continue to with Windows 10, like on the computer, but I realized, hey, I only have one phone.
Yep.
And, like, I might be dying or something. So I need to keep this stable.
And see, that's the same reason I never used a jailbreak, is that I didn't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
So, anyways, moving a bit away from Microsoft, nice to see Windows 10 is making progress and whatnot, but the Messenger probe has ended its mission around Mercury.
All right, and what was it there to do?
Well, it was basically our first modern look at the planet Mercury. We sent probes there before and whatnot, but they weren't nearly as detailed as this. This was the first 21st century modern expedition, so to speak, of it. And today they crashed the probe into the planet since it was done its mission and it was running out of fuel. So they just dumped it and
so they didn't want it to just be floating around in space, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. The Messenger mission was a very interesting one as to, you know, what it found, because Mercury is a planet that, you know, most people don't think of as being interesting, but it actually
when was it launched?
2011.
Okay. I seem to remember reading an article earlier that was saying that it's got like a processor from a PlayStation 1 in it.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
I'm not entirely sure, but it was launched in 08. For it. So I mean, maybe, but...
I'll look it up.
It did indeed provide very interesting results from the mission and objectives, such as looking at the actual surface of Mercury, what it's made of. We didn't know that before. The geologic history, the nature of its magnetic field, because, you know, Mercury is a dead planet, so the question is, where did its magnetic field come from? Determine the size of its
core. You mean it's a dead world?
Well, it has no geologic activity. Yeah.
And what was found out?
I don't know.
All right.
Anyways, very interesting, nonetheless, because you would not survive on that planet.
Quite clearly, yes. Kind of need oxygen.
Yeah, and you'd burn. Burn to a crisp.
And it burns. Right, Shane?
Yeah, that's
the Ring of Fire.
That's actually an examine info of the Ring of Fire in game.
Ha!
That you get from doing that little side quest. So.
Man, where All is right. that? Ugh. Trying to find that story.
Hmm. Anyways. I believe that's it for tech news.
Okay.
On to other things. What do we got for skill of the month?
Oh, God. Let's see. How bad's Tim winning? Yep, that was right.
What do we got? Do I want to look?
All right, so Tim has gained more experience than he started with. He's gained 15,430,917 XP. Arceus has gained 12.4 million. And then in third, Undoer has gained 3.26 million. And then me in fourth have gained 1.26 million. So yay!
Yeah. That's a lot. And, yeah. You know, these guys have been going... pretty constantly. Tim's taken a few breaks, but Arceus has remained linear. So,
isn't he free to play?
Yes, he is.
What the hell's he doing?
I am not sure. Maybe you should ask him. And the skill of the month for May is thieving, which has begun by the time you all are listening to this. So, will Tim make it 5 in a row?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yes.
I saw on the topic that JamAndy52 has just returned to RS, and he's looking to compete in the thieving skill a month, and
Uh-oh.
He's been known to offer up some quite stiff competition.
Oh, God, it's
before.
Thieving. I need to do thieving.
Well, you better
like
sign
I'm
up.
Signing up. Maybe I'll do it. Lord Earth. All right, Don, I'm signed up.
See how easy that is?
Yeah, you go to rsbnb.com/skotm, and then you type it. Well, you have to make a forum user first.
And right? It won't matter by the time they're hearing this, because it's April 30th and tomorrow's May 1st. Oh, well.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's May 1st. Okay. All right. Well, I have things I need to do then. Need to go turn in a deposit so I have somewhere to live next year.
Oh, good. But, all right. So we got that.
All right.
And also this week, Mr. Bistro. He wrote a good piece on quests. Everybody should read that. He says initially he wasn't. Exactly. He said he wasn't initially a quester, but now he thoroughly enjoys quests for their story. So if you've never been much on quest story and, you know, you wondering what they're all about, you should definitely have a read from this and try some of the newer quests. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how good quests are for their story content. And I mean, your whole clan wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that, right?
Correct.
So, very, very important part of RS. And I'm glad Mr. Bistro was able to effectively profile it, so... Thank you, Mr. Bistro. Informer.rsbnb.com. All right, we got one achievement this week, and it is Jade Gizmo with 99 agility on the 26th. Congratulations to you.
Oh, man.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, if I must say so myself, agility is definitely one of the harder and maybe more annoying skills out there that exist.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
And confirm.
Yep. I still have no idea how I got 99.
You were in a competition with people and you had to destroy them.
True. True. That's the case with most competitions I enter. I don't normally enter them if I can't win.
But then, if you can, if you have the possibility, you pull out all the stops.
Exactly, like that skill of the month that I beat you and Brian in.
It's bullshit, I won that! That's the real winner there. It's unfair.
All right. Congratulations once again, Jade Gizmo. Nice 99.
Woo!
Now, it's pick of the week time, and I got something that I want to share with you guys. Though it doesn't exactly exist yet, it begins this Saturday. It's a show from the Twit Podcast Network, twit.tv, and that show is called The New Screensavers.
Oh, good. So, Shane, yeah. Why should we watch this show?
Well, a bit of a backstory here. The Screensavers was initially a TV show, a daily TV show that ran from 98 to 2005 on a non-existent cable TV network now called Tech TV. And this cable network was what became Twit.tv online after the cable network was sold to Comcast, and they mutilated it into G4, and Twit lives on.
Oh, I hadn't realized that Twit was the... Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yep. I mean, G4 bought Tech TV. They called it G4 Tech TV for about a year, and then it just became G4, and things went bad, and... whatnot.
The next play was the only good show on there.
Yeah, that's right.
Adam Sessler. Still remember them.
You used to watch that.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, and you guys probably didn't
Special
have that
Agent
before,
Bob and Secret Agent Steve is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. It's brilliant.
I never watched X Play. That wasn't my thing on the network.
Well, yeah, wow. You're also like 30 years older than I am, right?
No.
Five, six, I can't do math. Whatever.
But
anyway.
Tech TV brought birth to Twit, and 10 years later, we finally have the Screensavers coming back. And the Screensavers was just a general show, you know, covers tech news of the day, has listener call-ins. They would do... interesting little segments.
Still going to be there.
Is who?
This week. Isn't Twit This Week in Technology? Is that a show?
Yeah, that's a show and the name of the network, yes.
Is that still going to exist?
Yeah, that's going to happen every Sunday. The Screensavers happens every Saturday.
Oh, okay, so it's not going to be another daily thing.
No.
Okay, and who's going to be on it?
Well, it's going to be with, you know, Twit head Leo Laporte, and he's going to have a rotating column of guests all doing various different things.
But be like RSBNB update, guys. We
exactly.
do that.
And the first show is going to be co-hosted by Patrick Norton, who was Leo's one of Leo's co-hosts back on the Screensavers. And this show, you know, did so many things back in the day. Technology-wise, they had, you know, the first hacked Xbox to run mods on it, Hackintoshing later in 2004, pretty much everything you can think of. They had people like Michio Kaku, who is a theoretical physicist. Basically anything science, tech, you would find it on the Screensavers. So it's really nice to see a show like this coming back. And this, I would say, Screensavers is one of the shows, you know, that the interest was already there for me, but if anything, it just cemented that interest in technology for me. So it's nice to see it coming back.
Well, good.
And you can find that at twit.tv/TNSS, which stands for the New Screensavers.
Woo!
All right. And that is that. Saturday, if you want to watch it live, 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern at twit.tv.
Woo!
All right. Why don't you tell people why they should support RSBNB?
Because I'm awesome?
Yes. And anyways.
Do people really need a reason other than that?
No, and that...
Yeah, I'm great.
Yeah, RSBNB is...
Give me money?
No, we don't.
All right, guys. So, starving artist, me... donate to rsbnb.com, and I might get to eat more than one meal a week.
Oh, boy. Anyways, you can find the more information about our donation program at rsbnb.com/donate. And contrary to what Earth says, these do go to support the cost and infrastructure of running RSBNB, bandwidth, server storage,
No, I'm saying they should donate so much that you feel obligated to give me a salary. That's what I was saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We would definitely like that.
Servers and shit, that comes first, but... You guys should donate so much that Shane feels obligated to pay me money. He doesn't like giving people money.
No, but...
Stingy.
We'll see how it goes, but rsbnb.com/donate if you're at all interested in supporting this fine thing that we run here.
Can we rename it also... Save the Earth Fund?
You can call it whatever you like.
All right, everyone, donate to Save the Earth Fund. The Save the Earth Fund. That's
and I would like to, you know, just put a thank you out there to everybody who has donated in the past, whether it be from this podcast or not, your contributions have been invaluable.
We're here because of viewers like you.
Well, remember we're not PBS.
PBS?
Yes.
All right, good. You commies do have that. I guess everything is public for you guys because, you know.
No, absolutely not. Private enterprise does flourish up here, though it might not come next Tuesday, but that'll be a topic for next week's show.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
Well, as you guys have noticed, I've tried to mute my mic as much as possible when doing it, but I've been coughing a lot, so I'm getting a little sickly. I have exams next week.
It must be the plot of someone who doesn't like you.
Huh?
It must be the plot of someone who doesn't like you that they got you sick just in time for exams.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Anyways, continue.
How else have I been doing, Shane?
You checked out the aquarium?
Yeah, I did that.
And you weren't as irate as you were in the past.
Well, I mean, it's there. I might as well make use of it while I can, right?
Yeah, let them fishies swim. Also, you did something this week that made me happy. You started playing around with OS X.
Yeah, it didn't work. I gave up. I was trying to run... this weekend, I'm DJing a formal for the... theater group I'm a part of. So I've never done that before, so I had to scramble to figure out what to do. But I figured out what I can do. So
that's good. And it's the Windows solution you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to run OS X in a VM virtual machine,
And there's this DJing software that integrates very well with Spotify, but there's the audio was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I just gave up, and I'm going to use a Windows solution now.
If you want, we can get that OS X working on your computer this summer.
Nah. It's not that big of a deal, but we'll see.
You know, when you see OS X booting on a non-Mac, it's kind of spooky.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Just like when you see Windows
booting
on a Mac.
Not as spooky as Windows XP on a Mac. Because I've seen that, and that was some weird shit.
But it is indeed possible, and I've done it a number of times, so I would have no problem, you know, lending a hand with an actual install on that.
If this DJing thing turns out to be something that I'm going to do more in the future, I may pick up a Mac for cheap. Certainly not going to get a brand new one. Because now I like having all four of my limbs.
Okay.
And both of my kidneys. But, yeah, we'll see. And exams. And also, I will not... Well, we talked about this. I may not be here next week because I have exams. I'm going to try to, but if I'm not, please be nice to the guest host, everyone.
Oh, of course they will be.
I know they're not as great as I am, but yeah. And
anything else?
Not really. I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, as for me this week, I did complete my offhand level 85 ports wand. So I have
The thing you're going apeshit about.
Yes. I got the other gemstone Kiseki, which allowed me to complete it.
See, I didn't think he was speaking English.
But that is a real item in game.
Apparently. It's still not English. I contend
that. It's Japanese.
You're Japanese.
No, I'm not. But yeah, in addition to that, I tested them out at the Glacors, and I got a pair of the ranged boots, Glavian boots, sold them for 7.2 million. All I was testing. Spent about 20 minutes there, and yeah, that was nice. A little fun farming for about another 3 days. Yeah. But in addition to that, on RS, farming and, you know, playing with the new interface thing. And I actually took a cruise through the death and drop beta again just to see how that's coming along. And it's coming along well.
Progressing
so
well.
Yeah, fingers crossed we won't have any bugs there. But aside from that, housekeeping around RSBNB, and that's about it.
What sort of housekeeping?
Oh, just follow up from last week's bug.
Did you ball something else up?
No. Other stuff. Server allocation stuff, that kind of stuff.
Ah, yes, that stuff. Got it.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for us this week on RSBNB Update. Thank you for listening, everyone. If you want to chat with me in-game, you can find me at Shane12088 or in our friends'
Lord
chat,
Earth.
Which is Bits Bytes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're Lord Earth, so... find us in game if you want to chat with us. We're very approachable, and we look
especially
forward to hearing
you.
Oh yeah,
I'm great.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing your time with us this week.
You're
everyone.
Welcome.
Have a good.
Oh,
week.
You're talking to them. Okay.
And you.
You yes. Never thank me.
Oh, I always thank you.
That's creepy. That's very creepy, Shane. I always thank you. All right. Goodbye, everyone.